For the past couple of weeks, I've been reading up on the Peloponnesian War, a long, destructive conflict that took place about 2,500 years ago between the Greek states of Athens and Sparta. For part of the war, Athens was led by a military commander named Pericles, who was also the person most responsible for building up the Acropolis in Athens, including the famous temple known as the Parthenon. Part of the Parthenon's decoration was a long marble frieze, basically a narrative mural in sculpture, portraying mythic scenes that everyone in Athens knew well. Today, a significant portion of that frieze is known as the Elgin Marbles and is nowhere near Athens. The absent pieces are called that because in 1803, a Scotsman named Thomas Bruce, the 7th Lord Elgin, who was Great Britain's ambassador to the Ottoman Empire, received permission from that government to remove antiquities from Athens, which was then under the control of the Turks. Ultimately, Elgin took about half of the elaborately figured frieze. He shipped it off to his ancestral home in Scotland, but in 1816 sold it to Parliament, which then gave it to the British Museum. They've been there ever since. But right now, there's a broad conversation going on, particularly in Europe, but also in the United States, about returning art like this to places from which it was often taken without the consent of the people who lived there. Similarly, the government of Nigeria is trying to convince several museums to return pieces of a huge collection known as the Benin Bronzes. They were looted by the British during a punitive expedition in 1897 and are now in collections around the world. The Economist recently noted that Germany and France have endorsed returning artifacts of this nature, including those to Nigeria. In April, Germany announced that it would return 440 pieces of the collection. Along with the Elgin Marbles, the British Museum has hundreds of Benin bronzes, but only a fraction on public display. Yet Britain has adopted what The Economist calls a retain and explain policy, saying that it's going to keep artifacts like these available to a broad audience, but do a better job of explaining their historical and cultural significance. In the 1st century AD, the Greek historian Plutarch wrote that a bloom of eternal freshness hovers over the works of the Parthenon, as if some ageless vitality had been breathed into them. That vitality still remains. But at the same time, certain works of art are part of certain cultures and are more vital to a particular group of people for which they're more than a beautiful curiosity. It's worth asking whether those people have a greater claim to a work of art than do those who may have taken it away in the past.